Thanks so much, Luce. Morning, everyone. So wonderful to be together again. If you've got your Bibles, you want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we're continuing our series on the Holy Spirit this morning. And it's been so encouraging to hear of all of the conversations and questions and discussions that have been happening in small groups around the Holy Spirit. But what I've become aware of through bits and pieces that I've heard is that many of us have lots of different experiences of the Holy Spirit, some positive. I was going to say some negative, but actually that's not true, because I don't think you can have a negative experience of the Holy Spirit, but I think you can be in negative contexts where maybe things are happening that are given over to the Holy Spirit, and maybe they're questionable or they're not taught into properly. So I'm just conscious that we said in week one that we're all on a journey with this. The journey that we want to take needs to be a biblical journey. And so the danger is that if we've had negative experiences in the past in association with the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we can then approach teaching around the Holy Spirit or an environment where we're pressing in for more of the Holy Spirit with caution. Yeah, our past experiences make us cautious. They make us hesitant. And in one sense, you can totally understand that. However, rather than being cautious, what we need to be is biblically discerning, okay, when it comes to the work and the person of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're trying to do over this short series, is come back to the Word of God and say, we want to be a people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to be a people who are seeking more of the Holy Spirit's power and influence in our lives and in our gathered context and out there for mission. But what does that actually look like? What did it look like in the Bible? What did it look like for the early church? What should it therefore look like for us? So I really want to encourage you, no matter what your past experience has been, no matter what kind of church context you've been in the past, let's not approach with caution. Let's approach with biblical discernment. But I also want to create an environment where we can ask questions and where we can have those discussions, because that's really important. That's how we work out truth together. And so we've got a new thing this week. We've got a questions box, which is very exciting. Over there on the table, it's not very glamorous. It just says questions and it's a box. But if you have any questions or anything that you're going to hear this morning or anything that's happened over the last couple of weeks that we've taught into, any questions at all about the Holy Spirit, we want to be able to serve you as best as we can. We want to be able to engage with those questions. So jot them down on a piece of paper. You can do them anonymously, stick them in the box. If you're watching on the live stream this morning, you've got questions, you can do a direct chat into the WCC box, and then we will kind of take note of those. And we'll think about what the best way for us to address those questions is, whether we do it on a Sunday morning or whether we do a video or an email or whatever. But we just want to be able to serve you. We don't want you to be lingering with questions, going, yeah, but what about this and what about this? We want to be able to serve you as best as we can. Last week, Mike shared with us on the theme of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And just to recap very briefly what he talked about, we looked at how actually the Bible instructs us and encourages us to be a people who are not just filled once with the Holy Spirit, but continually filled, continue being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, Mike spoke about being under the influence of the Holy Spirit, yeah, under his influence in a day-by-day way. Now, what does that look like? Well, it means that we should have some kind of ongoing experience of the Holy Spirit's power and the truth that the Holy Spirit brings us into in our daily lives. Now, sometimes we get nervous about that word experience, yeah, particularly if we're a bit more introverted. Yeah, we get nervous, oh, I'm not sure about experience, it's got to be about the word, yeah, not sure about this kind of feeling stuff. And yet you can't deny, when you read through the pages of the New Testament, particularly when you read through the book of Acts, that when the Holy Spirit filled the people of God, they experienced something. They experienced something, whether it was an outward manifestation of like prophecy or tongues, or whether it was an inward revelation of the love of God or the boldness to proclaim the gospel, they experienced something. As Christians, we are those in relationship with God. Relationships are experiential. They're not merely intellectual, okay? I don't have an intellectual relationship with Miriam. I have an experiential one where I feel her love. I feel her affection. Yeah. So we need to be a people actually who shouldn't be afraid of experience. Who should be to be filled with the experience with the Holy Spirit is to experience something of God. It could be an external thing. Could be an external manifestation of the Spirit, like we'll look at this morning in 1 Corinthians 12. It could be an internal thing, like Mike was talking about last week from Colossians chapter 1:9, where we experience the strength of God, the power of God, to live a life worthy of God, where we receive and experience knowledge and understanding of God. Do you see what I'm saying there? So we should have an expectation when we talk about being filled with the Spirit of experience, but perhaps that's slightly different from maybe historically what we've always thought that experience should look like. When you think about some of the words that the Bible uses to describe being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized or being drenched or drinking of the Spirit, these are experiential words. You can't be drenched by something without feeling that you're drenched. You can't drink something without experiencing that which you are drinking. And so today we're going to be looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we said in week one that when it comes to the Holy Spirit, He is God's best gift to us. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is the outworking of Jesus' declaration of Himself as Emmanuel, God with us. The very fact that that is true is because God has given us His Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us. And so just as the Holy Spirit is God's best gift to us, He also comes with gifts Himself. So you've probably heard that expression, that the gift that keeps on giving, yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. He is the gift of God to us who keeps on giving gifts to us. And so this morning, just very simply, we're going to look at two things about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to firstly ask the question, what does the Bible say about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And then we're going to ask the question, how can we identify what our gifts are and how can we grow in those gifts? So let's read together from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 4 down to 11. This is Paul writing. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your presence with us here this morning. We thank You that we have already seen something of what we're talking about being manifested in our presence this morning, from the scriptures shared to the pictures shared to the testimonies shared. Lord God, these things have done us good and we praise You for them. And we just ask You now, Holy Spirit, that You just help us as we try to work out what it means to be a people who are outworking the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the church and in the world. And so we just pray for Your help. I pray for Your help this morning to help me to communicate clearly and effectively and encouragingly and equippingly for the glory of Your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so first question, what does the Bible say about spiritual gifts? We're going to look at three things. The first thing that we see, and this isn't kind of a deep and profound kind of exposition of Scripture, this is just a plain reading. You know, in some senses, this is quite easy for us to understand what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. The first thing that it says is that there are varieties of spiritual gifts. Verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts. Do you see how I've managed to pull that out in the text using my profound biblical scholarship? No, there are varieties of spiritual gifts, because that's what Paul says, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. In other words, there are lots of gifts. There are lots of different gifts. And the list that we have here in 1 Corinthians 12 is most likely not exhaustive. In fact, we know it's almost certainly not exhaustive, because there's another list that Paul says in Romans chapter 12 where he lists spiritual gifts. Some of them are the same as the gifts in this passage, but there are also additional ones. At the end of Corinthians chapter 12, he also kind of repeats himself describing these gifts, but he adds in a couple of others as well. So there are lots of spiritual gifts. And And in the midst of all of those different types of gifts, one of the key things for us to understand is that they're all spiritual gifts. In other words, they're all gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes we're a bit nervous about what we would see as a kind of supernatural gifts, things like prophecy or tongues or the work of miracles or healings. And we're kind of, and there are lots of people in the church today who go, I'm not really sure those things are even for the church today. And yet, when we look at things like Romans chapter 12, where he talks about the gift of leadership or the gift of acts of mercy or contribution, in other words, being generous, or later on in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the gift of helping or the gift of administration, we wouldn't look at those things and go, I don't think they're for the church today. No, we go, well, that's fine. We see those in evidence all the time. They are just as much spiritual gifts as the gifts of prophecy or the gifts of tongues or the gifts of working of miracles. So there are not kind of supernatural gifts of the Spirit and natural gifts of the Spirit. No, they're all gifts of the Holy Spirit because they're all empowered by the Holy Spirit. They all come from the Holy Spirit. So there are a variety of gifts, which means that we all have different gifts. Yeah, within the body, you saw it time and time again, where as he's working through the different gifts, he says, to another is given this, to another is given this, to another is given this, to another is given this. We don't all have all of these gifts, okay, but we are all gifted, yeah? So there are varieties of gifts, and we all have different gifts. And Paul goes to great lengths to emphasize this point, because after describing or listing these gifts, he paints this picture of the body, yeah, which we're all pretty familiar with. He takes a long time, this big kind of detailed picture of the body, talking about how the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, how every different part of the body is instrumental in the body working properly. That's Paul's way of kind of emphasizing his point that you all are different and you all have different gifts, but your gifts are all of equal value. You and they are all needed to be a properly functioning body. Does that make sense? Give me some nods. Okay. So that's the first thing that we see, that there are varieties of gifts. The second thing that we see is that these gifts come from and are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So we read from verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And then in verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Yeah? The point is, all of these gifts come from the Holy Spirit. And Romans 12 talks about the gifts coming according to the grace given to us. These are all grace gifts. Yeah? And they're given to everyone. Notice in verse 7, to each is given, not to some, but to each. So this morning I want to say to you, if you have ever looked at other people, or if you ever looked at yourself and you've just thought, I am not gifted, I don't have any gifts, that is an unbiblical thought, okay? To each is given. You have been given gifts by the Holy Spirit. Kids, the same is true for you. It's not just for the grown-ups, okay? Kids, all look at me, kids. I can see that you're not looking at me. All look at me, okay? Listen to what I'm going to say, okay? When we're talking about using our gifts that God has given us, you don't have to wait till you're a grown-up, yeah? We've seen that already with Ted wonderfully blessing us this morning, okay? You can use your gifts. God has gifted you. You're just as much a part of this church as the grown-ups are. We want to hear from you. We want to see your gifts at work in the body because they bless us, okay? But that's not just for the kids. That's for the grown-ups as well, or the big kids, as Mike said last week, okay? We want you to use your gifts. You are gifted. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for the super spiritual people only. The gifts of the Spirit actually aren't marks of spirituality at all, because they're given by grace. They're not earned when you reach a certain level of spiritual maturity. When we read through the New Testament, it is very obvious that the gifts are given to ordinary Christians. Not super spiritual ones, not just the apostles, but ordinary Christians. How do we know that? Well, there are examples of unnamed people in the book of Acts outworking in prophecy or outworking in tongues. We also know it by the very presence of the letter of 1 Corinthians, where we have this church that to be honest, is totally messed up. Like, this is a really, like, crazy church where people are suing each other. There's division. There's immorality. Some people, there's arguing. Some people saying, I follow this person. I follow this person. This is not a model church. When you read through 1 Corinthians, there's a lot of correction that Paul's having to bring to this church. And yet, right at the beginning of his letter to them, he describes them as not lacking in any spiritual gift. They don't have all the spiritual gifts because they're super spiritual. They have all the spiritual gifts because the Holy Spirit is the one who gives the gifts by the grace of God. So listen to me this morning. Don't disqualify yourself from being used by God. Don't disqualify yourself and say, I don't have any gift. I don't have anything to contribute. No, you do. You do, because God gives gifts to each of his children. But we also don't get to choose what those gifts are. We should pursue them. We should eagerly desire them. But it's clear that we don't get to choose them. From verse 11 again, it says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions, in other words, who gives to each one individually as he wills. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, it says this, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. Yeah? So the gifts that we receive are given to us by God. He gets to decide what our gifts are, which is great because it means we don't find any kind of identity in our gift. Yeah? We find our identity in Jesus. We find our identity in the fact that we are sons and daughters of God. We don't find our identity in the gift because we haven't done anything to earn that gift. We have no place of boasting in that gift. There's no point in envying somebody else because they did nothing to get their gift either. The gifts are grace given and determined by the Holy Spirit. Yes, we can desire them. Yes, we can ask for them, but we don't get so caught up in them that we lose that sense of like, Lord, let your will be done. How have you made me? How have you shaped me? What have you given me? How can I serve the church? So that's the second thing, that gifts come and are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Are you still with me, guys? Great. Thirdly, then, the gifts are given for the benefit of the church. Again, verse 7 says that each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Yeah, Miriam touched on this at the beginning, saying that the gifts that we are given from God are not primarily for our personal benefit, but for the common good. They're for the good of the church. And I want to say this explicitly as I can and as lovingly as I can this morning, because I feel like some of us might need to hear this. When it says that the gifts are given for the good of the church, that means they're good gifts. That means they're good gifts. That means the gift of tongues is a good gift. Yeah, that means the gift of prophecy is a good gift. The gift of healing, the gift of working of miracles, the gift of administration, the gift of helping, the gift of leadership. These are all good gifts that we should celebrate, and we should not shy away from any of them. And we shouldn't go, I want that one. We'll have that one in the church. That one freaks me out. Don't like that one. No, no. They're all good. They are all good. Okay? So we should pursue all of the gifts within the church. As Miriam said, they're different from earthly gifts in that they're not just given to us. When you get given a gift for your, like, your birthday or for Christmas, it's for you, isn't it? And you primarily are meant to enjoy that. And yet the gifts of the Spirit are given to us so that we would overflow in blessing to other people. You sometimes hear the expression of somebody who's got a specific talent. They say, you need to share your gift with the world. Yeah, when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you need to share your gift with the church. The gifts you are given by God are given to you for the benefit of others, primarily. Tongues is a slightly different one. Okay, tongues is given for personal benefit, but if brought in a corporate setting, needs to come an interpretation so that it benefits and blesses the body. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are a really practical way that we love each other. Yeah, it's no coincidence that 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that famous chapter on love that's always read out of context at weddings, okay, is where it is. It's where it is because Paul wants you to know, if you don't love each other, there's no point in using the gifts. They're an empty sound. They're a clanging cymbal. Rather, you use the gifts in love. That is their purpose. By using your gift, that's the way that you love one another. So we've looked at how the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there are varieties of them. The gifts come from and are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and the gifts are given for the benefit of the church. Secondly, then, and briefly, how can we identify what our gifts are? Okay, if we're all gifted and we all accept that, that's what the Bible says. Okay, so how do I identify what my gifts or my giftings are and how do I grow in them? What do you do if you don't know what your gifts are? And sometimes we don't. Some of us may be here listening to this and go, okay, I get what you're saying. I get what the Bible says, but I've no idea what my gifts are. Well, here's a few things that just are not, again, rocket science, but some things that may just help you to identify your gifts. And I suggest that you talk about these things in your small groups or in your discipleship groups in terms of trying to outwork the gifts that God has given you. So here's a couple of things for you to think about. Number one, what are you good at? I told you it wasn't rocket science. What are you good at and what are you not good at? What do you enjoy doing? What, when you do it, just feels like the right fit for you? You know, when you're doing something, you're just like, I am operating now in my lane. Like, this is where I really flourish, yeah? Where in your life are you bearing fruit? Yeah? Where do you have those occasions where you do something and someone says to you, I can't imagine how you would do that. But for you, you're a bit like, well, it's not actually that big a deal. Like, it just seems to kind of come naturally to me, okay? These are sometimes helpful indications of where your gifting may be. When you read through this list in 1 Corinthians 12 or in Romans chapter 12, and you read through the list of gifts, which ones jump out at you? Yeah? Which ones resonate in your heart? Which ones do you immediately go, I'd love to operate in that? Again, not for me, not for my glory, but I'd love to kind of step into that. Maybe that's an indication of what your gifting is. These are all really helpful questions to ask yourself. Of course, there's one question that is much more helpful, and that's to ask the Holy Spirit. That's to ask God, what are my gifts? What is it that you've given me? And also to ask other people, what do you think my gifts are? Where do you think I'm fruitful? Where do you think I'm flourished? What have I done before that has been a blessing to you? There are also some tools that you can use. So kids, this morning in your packs, you've got a little spiritual gift inventory. It's very simple, but it asks you a few questions about what you're like and might help you kind of determine what your gifts are. It's not exhaustive. There's only four gifts on it. But that's a helpful way sometimes to kind of try to determine. You can go online and find online tools which will ask you different questions again about what you feel like you're fruitful in. What do you naturally gravitate towards? Now, you've got to be careful with things like this. Identifying your spiritual gift is not a science. It can't be reduced to a formula. Yeah, we need the Holy Spirit's leading, but they sometimes can be helpful steers in helping us identify what our gifts are. The other thing you can do is just try stepping out. Try operating in a gift and see what happens. See if God is with you. See how you feel when you're doing that. See what the fruit of you stepping out is. And seek feedback from other people. Get other people's opinion on what your gifting is. So those are just a couple of things that you can do to help identify your gift. Once identified, and with this I will finish, how do you grow? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says to Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God that was given to you by the laying on of hands. In other words, Paul's saying, Timothy, you received a gift, okay, but you mustn't just let it lie there. You mustn't just let it be dormant. You have to fan it into flame. You have to do something. You have to take some responsibility. So at home, we've got one of those chimney things, and I'm not very good at building fires, but when you build the fire, yeah, you can't just put a few bits of kindling on it and set it going and then just walk away and leave it, because you'll come back 20 minutes later and it'll be gone. You have to fan it into flame. You have to add wood onto it and then fan it and whop it with whatever you've got, a plate or your hands or whatever. You can't just leave it because the embers will just die away. You need to fan it into flame. You need to use the gifts that God has given you. In Romans 12:6, Paul says, having received these gifts, let us use them. Yeah? So good just having a gift and letting it sit there in the corner of our lives, untouched and unused, like so many old birthday presents or Christmas presents. No, when God has given you a gift, we must use it. We must steward it well. We must fan it into flame. We must pursue to grow in that gift. And also, we must be encouraged by the body. In order for us to grow in our gifts, we all have a responsibility to encourage one another in the use of their gifts. And this is so key. And I really felt like this week when I was thinking and praying about this message that this was the kind of moment that the Holy Spirit just highlighted for me, that he wants to really kind of gently hammer home in our hearts, okay, this morning. So Joel at the moment is learning to play the piano. He's doing brilliantly, yeah? But when you're learning to play an instrument, yeah, for all the good notes that you might play, within that, there's always the dud notes, yeah? The way with any kind of instrument. And sometimes at the beginning, there are as many dud notes as there are good notes. Sometimes at the beginning, there are more dud notes than there are good notes. But if Joel plays a dud note, I don't say, right, that's it, you are not gifted at playing the piano. I'd be a terrible parent if I did that. But also, it wouldn't be true. Because actually, in order for Joel to grow in his gifting, in his musical gifting, there has to be space and there has to be grace for him to get it wrong, for him to make mistakes, for him to play the wrong notes, and for me to still encourage him and not chastise him and not write him off because he played some wrong notes, but to recognize that he's growing in that gift. And my question for us this morning to think about is, do we have grace for each other's dud notes? When it comes to us growing in the gifts of the Spirit, have we got grace for each other in that? And I want to give an example, a live example of how we can apply this. And I've chatted this through with Mike, and he's actually given me his permission. In fact, he kind of encouraged me to do it. Mike preached last week, and Mike blessed us amazingly. He served us so well. So much about Mike's preach last week that was amazing. You know, his diligence in preparation beforehand, which I got to see firsthand, his sensitivity and his desire to be responsive to what he felt the Holy Spirit speaking to him in those moments, his use of scripture, the way he engaged the kids, the truth that he brought, served us amazingly, yeah? When Mike and I were chatting about his preach this week, he acknowledged there was one moment in his preach where he lost his way in his notes, the numbers confused him, he got in a bit of a jumble and he felt like he lost his way for a few minutes, okay? We need to be real about that, okay? That happens, okay? Do we write Mike off? Do we say, Mike, you can never preach again because you had a dud note within the context of how much you blessed us? No, of course we don't. We go, we so want Mike to grow in his preaching gifting. He's such a blessing to us. He's such an encouragement to us. When I preach, there's dud notes all the time, okay? Maybe I'm getting better at covering them so you don't even notice them, yeah? Or I just preach for so long that you've forgotten about them by the end of it. But we must have grace for one another's dud notes because it's the only way that we grow in our gifting. Imagine if we said, sorry, Mike, because there was a few minutes in the middle that were a bit confusing. I didn't quite know what you were talking about. You can't ever preach again. We would be robbing ourselves as a church of the blessing that God wants to bring to us through Mike. We must have grace for one another's dud notes. We must not write one another off. It's the only way that we will grow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You see, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are an amazing opportunity, yeah, for us to outwork the culture, the values that we spoke about before Christmas, that we want to characterize this church, yeah? Loving one another, yeah? That's how we do it, either through the gifts, but also how we respond to people using the gifts, giving people second chances, yeah? When someone does stand up and they're so burdened with a word, but really they just totally miss the mark or they communicate it, you know, in a clumsy way, and we don't go, oh, please never share again. We go, this was brilliant. Here's some feedback for you. This would really help you. I just want to so encourage you and thank you for stepping out, okay? Rather than going, really, that was embarrassing and it made us all feel a little bit awkward, so can you not do that again? No, that's not the kind of place that we want to be, yeah? We have an opportunity for using the gifts to be real with one another, to put our hand up like Mike did when we go, I thought it was okay, but I also got that bit wrong, and we go, yeah, do you know what? I think that could have been better, but hey, praise God that you noticed that and that you recognized it and that you want to continue to grow in it. We have an opportunity to get involved by using the gifts that God has given us. Guys, I long for Whitstable Community Church to be a place where we can have a go and get it wrong and know that we're still loved. Yeah? Where we can have a go, get it wrong, or think that we've got it wrong, and walk away going, well, I could have done that better, or I feel a little bit silly, but you know what? I'm not totally wrecked inside. I'm not suddenly insecure. I'm not worried about showing my face. I'm not thinking everybody thinks I'm an idiot because I know that I'm loved. That's my heart for this church. So guys, I want to encourage you this morning, let us be a people who proactively pursue and desire the gifts of the Spirit, who use the gifts of the Spirit, who seek to grow in the gifts of the Spirit through feedback, and who keep asking for more when it comes to the Holy Spirit, okay? Why don't we just take a few moments just to respond and invite Robin and Joe up. We'll sing in a moment. Why don't we just close our eyes? Let's pray into that, and then we're going to sing a song to respond. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your good gifts. And we thank you for your invitation to us to come and feast at your table, Lord. And we say we want to respond. Lord, we want to be all in. We don't want to be hesitant. Lord, we just pray, Father, where if we've ever had wrong thinking towards your gifts, if we've had nervousness, if we've had hesitation, if we've not been convinced that they are good, Lord, we want to repent of that. Lord God, I want to say, help us to think rightly and biblically about you, Holy Spirit, and about your gifts. Lord God, Father, I thank you, Lord, that we have seen your gifts at work already this morning, Lord God. And we want to be a people, Lord God, that are using the gifts that you have given us to build up and bless the body and glorify your name, Jesus. We know ultimately, Jesus, that you gave your life, Lord, for us on the cross. Lord, you paid that ultimate sacrifice so that you could come and make your home in us, Lord, and the gifts are the fruit of that as well. And so when we despise or we resist those gifts, we are undermining the work of the cross. Lord God, we are undermining your sacrifice. So Lord, we want to take it seriously. Lord God, we want to say, wow, isn't it amazing? The God of the universe gave me this. I want to use it. Lord, I want to use it to glorify you. And so we just pray, Holy Spirit, would you help us as we go from this place? Help us to identify what our gifts are if we're not sure. Well, gifts have laid dormant and in the corner of our lives, as I'm sure it's true for many of us, where we've stopped kind of pressing in, where we've stopped asking for more. Lord, I pray you light a fire afresh in our hearts that makes us go, yes, I want more. Would we fan them into flame? I pray, Lord Jesus, for the glory of your name and for the good of the church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.